The crew was prepped and on the move within a half hour. As JB had said, the walls, floor, and ceiling of the tunnel leading to the highest level had taken the brunt of whatever earth movements had occurred during and immediately after the Newcost. Cracks ran along the tunnel, and despite the concrete's thickness, some were large and deep enough for moisture to have seeped through over the decades. Spores of mold and fungus peppered the areas around these cracks, and small pools of stagnant water gathered on the floor.
It can't have been too bad. The walls are still pretty sound. I figure the door should work okay. The mechanism on all the others did yesterday. The only thing that could prevent it would be if earth movements have buckled the frame and jammed it.
Let's hope not.
Okay, JB. When you hit the lever, I want everyone back in a defensive position.
The tunnel was supported by a series of buttresses that formed a semicircular arch from floor to floor, arcing over the ceiling. Some of these housed sectors, others stood alone. The companions drew back so that they took cover by these arches, guns at the ready if there was a need to fire. JB stood alone by the final sector panel. Ryan stayed nearest and gave the bespectacled armorer the nod when JB cast him a questioning glance. The outside atmosphere had obviously had some effect on the outer door, as it rose far more slowly than the interior doors. JB brought his Uzi up to waist height. The light of mid-morning was intensely bright as it began to show itself under the shuddering sector. In contrast to the bland fluorescent light that lit the redoubt corridor, the brightness made them squint. They were unable to see any dangers that lay beyond. But they quickly adjusted to the light and saw that the entrance to the redoubt lay in the side of a shallow valley, with a dirt track running up around the edge and over into the land beyond. The earth in front of them was dry, sandy soil, littered with small rocks and pebbles. The area looked deserted. Ryan signaled them to wait, listening intently for any movement beyond. But there was nothing. Ryan looked back at Christy. She shook her head. If there were any danger out there, she would sense it. Ryan gestured for his people to move out, still keeping their defensive formation. The one-eyed warrior himself was in the lead, with Jack, Christy, and Mildred fanning out to scan the area. Doc came out before JB, who kept to the rear and guarded their backs. Ryan gestured to JB that it was clear, and the armorer tapped in the set code, the door grinding ponderously shut behind them. JB followed the others until they were gathered on the highest ridge of the valley. It was only about 8 feet above the valley floor, but it still afforded them a decent vantage of the land surrounding.
Dark night. It's bleak.
The valley walls had to have been higher at some time, but the nuclear winter and the harsh climate changes over the past century had beaten them down to dry husks of hillocks. Before them was a flat, despairing landscape that tried and failed to support life.
Sure as heck won't be many folks trying to eke out a living round here. And not much shelter from the elements for us either.
I figure that Vilmi and JB were talking about must be north-northwest from here. So if we head in that direction...
Taking the highest point of the land and using the sun and the mini-sextant he always carried with him, JB sighted their position, then plotted their direction.
It might be a couple of days' hike from here, so we need to keep a sharp eye for water and shelter.
Ryan looked up.
I don't like skies this clear when there's land this dry. Gives me a bad feeling.
My dear Ryan, it would give me the perfect opportunity to top up my tan. I feel all this living underground is giving me somewhat of an unhealthy pallor.
They set off on the long march. Strung out in a line with JB now on point, they kept their heads down, avoiding the glare of the sun. Apart from scrub and the occasional lizard, there was little sign of life. Any mammals that scratched some kind of a living from the land were safely burrowed away. The companions trudged on, measuring the tedium of time only by the achingly slow movement of the sun across the sky. It was Mildred who first noticed the growing breeze. Quite by chance, she looked to her left to relieve the boredom of scrutinizing the ground.
Oh, shit! Ryan!
Huh? Ryan looked back at Mildred and followed the direction in which she was pointing. The other companions followed suit.
By the three Kennedys. It was Montana, 1878, when I was last privy to such a sight.
Yeah, and this might be the last time you see it unless we can find some cover.
What had caught their attention was awesome and beautiful, but also deadly. In the distance, gaining ground rapidly on them, a twister was whipping the earth into a turmoil. Clouds of dust and dirt were flying at strange trajectories as the currents of air flung them from their path. At its present speed, the twister would reach them shortly.
We need cover!
Ryan cast about for some kind of shelter, something that would cover them until the twister passed over.
Yeah!
Jack pointed to a cave that disappeared into the ground. It was more like a pothole, but it was shelter.
Okay, let's go!
Ryan ran toward it, tracking back to one side to help Doc, who was slower than the others. Mildred, Christy, and Jack gained the entrance, with JB, who had been farthest back, catching up to Ryan and Doc, grabbing the old man's arm and helping Ryan to speed him along. A large stone struck JB in the temple. He went down.
Jack, help Doc in. I'm going back for JB.
I got him.
Come on, JB. Let's get out of this wind.
I'm okay, I think.
The twister was almost on them as they dove for the entrance to the cave. The sudden darkness was all-encompassing. They could feel the scouring dirt whipping against their backs, rocks and stones plowing into them, and the dry, powdered earth forming a choking mist that swirled around them, clogging their mouths, noses, and lungs. Christy took Ryan by one arm and hauled him farther back into the cave. JB felt two hands on his body, searching for a hold. As he felt himself dragged in one direction, he dug his boot heels into the cave floor, pushing with his calves to aid his rescuer by propelling himself as hard as he could. It was more than Mildred expected, and she nearly stumbled and fell.
Oh, don't! Don't, John! It'll be okay!
JB marveled that he could hear Mildred above the noise of the storm, then realized that it had lessened. Was that because they had moved into the caves? Or because the speed of the twister was taking it past them already? Jack took hold of Doc. Strings of bile and dirt splattered the cave floor around him, but Doc was still conscious.
Heavens, I can manage myself. I'm not so decrepit that I'm...
Talk later. Walk now.
Jack took Doc beneath the arms and lifted him into a semi-upright position.
You walk okay? Just nod.
Doc nodded.
Keep your head low. Not very high in here.
Jack's red eyes were better suited to the darkness than anyone else's in the group, but even he was having trouble adjusting. Stumbling, crashing into the jagged rock walls, and trying to avoid cracking their skulls on the low roof of the cave, the companions made their way back. As the air cleared of dust and Ryan and JB were able to breathe more easily, their senses began to return.
Fire blast. It's darker than a Sticky's rectum in here. I can't see where the hell we're headed.
Neither can I. How about you, Jack?
No. Better stop. Got a bad feeling about this.
Sounds like a good idea. Find out where the hell we are before we lose the way back. Besides, I don't like this smell.
It is like a charnel house. But not one which has been well maintained.
Doc's body, stressed in unimaginable ways by the hardships of his previous life, was sometimes apt to react in ways that baffled the others. He had been less buffeted by the storm than Ryan and JB, but was taking longer to recover. But there was nothing wrong with his sense of smell. The dark caves, as they traveled downward, were filled with the sickly sweet odors of flesh in varying stages of decay. They had sheltered in caves on numerous occasions, and had come to discover that these could be the homes of some very dangerous creatures. Fortunately, they all carried among their supplies flashlights. These were battery-operated, though the batteries were hard to obtain. Only two of them were still giving a strong beam. Ryan's was weak, and as he moved it around, he could see that Mildred and Christy had the working flashlights. JB's, Jack's, and Doc's were all dead.
Better than nothing. Shit, look at that.
The stronger beams cast their light over the cave floor. Scraps of fur and skin were littered between jagged edges of bone. The odor of decay and death had stayed in the enclosed space until it had become embedded in the walls.
Small animals, all of them. Whatever did this couldn't find big prey. Maybe not too much danger, but maybe a lot of them.
Yeah, but what? I thought it was only small stuff could live in this. What's down here and where did it come from?
Madam, the second part of your query is irrelevant. Much more pertinent would be to ask, what did this and is it still here?
Right, Doc.
Ryan noted that Doc had loosened his Lamar percussion pistol in its resting place, ready to draw and fire when danger threatened.
Triple red, people. But careful with the blasters. It's a confined space, and we could end up chilling ourselves from ricochets.
Doc eased the Lama back into place and took his sword stick from its sheath. The blade, finely honed and made of Toledo steel, glittered in the beams of the flashlights.
Thing is, if whatever it is knows we're here, why isn't it attacking us and defending its territory?
Christie's hair coiled protectively around her head and neck.
It's sizing us up.
Watching. Waiting.
In each of Jack's hands, a razor-honed, leaf-bladed knife was poised and balanced. Using the flashlights that still had strong beams, the companions surveyed the area around them as far as the light penetrated. The tunnel system formed by the caves honeycombed off in several directions. Straight ahead of them, the system plunged on into the darkness, gradually descending into the depths of the earth. To their rear, in the direction from which they had traveled, it seemed to go up, but had they arrived in a straight line? In their hurry to get away from the storm, none could say for sure if they had veered into this area from one of the tunnels leading off what appeared to be the central corridor.
Why won't it show itself?
Maybe there's only one of it, and it knows it's outnumbered here. Maybe it doesn't want to fight in the place it keeps its kill. Could be a lot of things. The only thing I know for sure is this is too confined a space to fight, and we should get the hell out without disturbing it if possible.
Too late for that. Can hear something move.
Jack paused, furrowing his brow as he tried to listen. The others didn't dare breathe. Jack chewed on his scarred lip.
Too many caves, too many tunnels. Sand all messed up. More than one, though.
We move now. Keep going straight back, keep close, go single file.
Ryan, we got a problem. I'm still fucked by that crack on the skull. I don't trust myself to cover our asses.
Ryan's jaw was set. Without JB at the back, there was a chance that an attack from behind could take them out. His best option was to put Jack there, but he had wanted the albino at the front, using his keen senses to detect any danger that may be ahead.
Jack, take the back for me. JB, you go in the middle for now. I'll take the front. Someone give me one of the working flashlights.
Christie gave Ryan hers. Proceeding with caution, Ryan began to lead them back, hopefully, the way they had come. He scanned the floor of the cave for any sign of footprints, but the earth was too thin, too easily disturbed to keep much shape. Their progress was slowed, too, by the necessity of checking every branching tunnel leading off their path. The darkness could hide any number of secrets. The echoing acoustics of the caves meant that it was impossible to detect the direction from which the sounds came, but it was certain that the creatures were getting closer, and it was also clear now that there were more than one.
Triple red, people.
Ryan drew his panga from its sheath on his thigh. He had that familiar churning of the gut, that instinct that told him the enemy was about to attack. The only problem was, from where? Behind him, Doc had his sword blade ready, and JB, despite his unsteadiness, unsheathed his techno knife. The only guns were those held by Christie and Mildred, who didn't carry blades. At the rear, Jack cast glances behind him. He had taken Mildred's flashlight to illuminate the rear, leaving her with Ryan's dimmed flashlight in the middle of the group. Jack was sure that the flashlight was catching something as they turned corners, the sudden gleam of a watching eye, but always just out of reach. He could smell them now. Suddenly he hit the switch on the flashlight, and the tunnel behind them was illuminated.
Ryan!
Ryan whirled in the enclosed space, the flashlight catching more of the creatures coming at them from a side tunnel. The pack had been smart enough to split into two to attack. Ryan hoped that was the limit of their wits.
What are they?
The creatures that attacked them were descended from dogs, animals whose ancestors had perhaps strayed from bills nearby and become lost in the wastelands above, seeking shelter beneath. All of them looked rabid. Sores and welts littered their bodies. They wore the effects of inbreeding and mutation. Some of them had only one eye, some bulbous growths on their heads. Others moved fast, but with an awkward, lame gait. One thing they all had in common, powerful jaws glistening with sharp teeth that glinted yellow. Since they were moving in packs from only two directions, a load from JB's M4000 and the shot chamber of the Lama should have decimated their ranks and made the fight easier. But the dogs moved too fast. How many of them there were, it was difficult to tell, but they closed with a speed that meant there was no time to draw and fire. The dogs were on them in a blur of fur and muscle, flashing teeth. The breath of the creatures was enough to make any of the companions want to vomit. The flashlights hit the floor, the beams low and casting shadows up the rock wall, making it dark above a height of 3 feet, and difficult for the companions to see what was happening. They would have to rely on their other senses. Jack's eyes moved in a whirl as he ducked the snapping creatures, the razor-sharp metal tearing through fur and flesh into muscle, jarring against bone. The scent of blood filled the air, driving the surviving dogs on. In their feeding frenzy, they turned on their own injured and vulnerable. Ryan's Panga sliced through the air, one pass of the blade hitting a dog in an artery, the hot blood spraying across Ryan's face. Some dogs were getting through between the two point men. Doc thrust at them with his blade, the tightness of their confined space stopping him from using the blade as he would have wished. At Doc's back, JB was shaking his fogged head to clear it, using the techno-knife to slice at the attacking creatures with short jabs and thrusts, keeping the hounds at bay, which left Mildred and Christy to pick their targets with care. The men had tried to protect the two women, as they had no blades. Using their guns was the last thing either woman wanted, but the dogs had swept over the companions with such force that no matter how hard the men worked with their blades, they needed assistance.
Pick one of the bastards and chill it. We've got to.
Better get it right the first time.
The two shots echoed off the cave walls and ceiling. Pebbles and small rocks became dislodged. Christy was cut by the sweep of Doc's sword stick as he sliced through rabid canine flesh in an attempt to drive it back.
A thousand pardons, madam. Would that I could see clearly in this pit of hell.
Fur and muscle came hurtling in from all angles. Jack could feel the blood of his enemies covering him. Yet as one creature fell back, another seemed to take its place. Mildred, already bent double in the confined space, felt one of the creatures thud into her as it leaped against her chest, driving her back against the wall of the cave, the jagged rocks cutting into her spine. Her back muscles twisted and spasmed. The yellow teeth and bloodshot eyes of the dog suddenly loomed into view with a clarity that was hideous, even in the near dark of the tunnel. Mildred raised her ZKR, her hand pinned to her side, twisting her wrist against the body mass of the dog, even as she felt the ligaments tearing with the effort. She felt her hand against the warm, matted fur of the creature, could feel the barrel of the pistol against the ridge of muscle along the dog's ribcage. Mildred eased herself away from the wall, her back muscles protesting. Christy, already off balance from Doc's sword blow, was driven even more so by two dogs that sensed her sudden vulnerability and attacked. She lashed out at one dark shape with her foot, connecting with the dog's jaw by chance and rendering it senseless. The other dog managed to evade her defenses and jump for her throat. She raised a defensive arm and brought up her .38 Smith & Wesson, but her timing was off. She felt its jaws close on her arm, only the thickness of her bearskin coat stopping it from driving its sharp teeth into her flesh. She clubbed underneath its body with the butt of her gun, catching it in the balls. The dog's jaws loosened enough for Christy to pry her arm free, but the stray shot had taken out chunks and caused fissures to open along weaknesses in the tunnel walls. The tunnels trembled. The ripple effects of the fissure spread, and the walls and floor began to move, rock dust powdering from the ceiling of the cave.
Dark Knight, it's coming down!
The dogs forgot their prey, intent only on escaping the danger they now felt was more imminent. They melted into the tunnels. Ryan scooped up the flashlight at his feet. He threw the beam in an arc across the cave, as far as it would reach. The cracks and falling dust seemed to be localized.
This way!
He gestured them toward an area in front of him. They scrambled forward in the darkness across the blood-slick floor, if not to safety, at least heading to a place that seemed a little more stable. JB stumbled, and Mildred held back to assist him. Jack was already past them, helping Doc gain ground on Ryan and Christy, who were about 10 yards ahead. Jack had Doc's arm, but the old man slipped on a slick patch of bloodied earth, losing his footing and stumbling, his arm wrenched out of Jack's grasp. Jack turned on his heel and tried to reach back for Doc. But the tunnel's roof fell, slabs of rock coming between them, the impact making the ground shake under Jack's feet, a falling shard glancing against his temple and nearly knocking him out. Jack lost sight of Doc and lost his balance.